which we were doing Jewish before that time, and the way in which it did it after was not the same. After the Holocaust, we were in the same kind of a situation. It was the Holocaust, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the moonwalk, the web. So many things shifted, and science that was scientism at one point. Whatever you can touch is for real, and if you can't quantify it, it isn't. And then came quantum mechanics and the understanding that nothing physical, they used to say matter is indestructible. It would either turn to energy or matter, but it's indestructible. All of a sudden we found out that there's a lot more going on at that point. So the question was, how do you stay in a religion that if you take literally what it says and what the tradition has brought up to date, at that point, you can't possibly remain in that religion and be honest to your understanding of the map of reality that there was. Because the map of reality has changed. So what are we going to do about that? At that time, I was first thinking about the need for establishing what Fahrenheit 451 was describing, that there are people who embodied certain books. And I felt that the spirituality of before the Holocaust was disappearing. The rites, the rituals of them before the Holocaust were disappearing. You look at what happened to the various different kind of Yemenite, Moroccan, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, they all have gotten into the mix through the Israeli army. And nobody can remember what the original thing was. And then came my friend Shlomo Carlebach, God rest his soul, and he created a whole new liturgy, and a whole new liturgy world, which was then later on copied. So I thought first that we should create this Noah's Ark, in which we keep these different groups together. And I wrote an article called Qumran USA for the establishment of a liturgical urban kibbutz based on what was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. There was a scroll called The Battle of the Children of Light against the Children of Darkness. Children of Light is B'nai Or, and that's how the whole business came about, because I was feeling that was important. I wrote that article and I got two responses. One was, a nice idea, it'll never happen. And the other one was, I'll do everything I can not to allow this to happen to you. Because it seemed to be so upsetting to some people that this kind of spirituality should come in. It didn't work, and so a lot of things happened since that time, and I felt, no, it isn't enough to do restoration, to bring things back to where they were before, but to get to renewal, to take that which was before, and to renew it, to go to the core of it, and to ask, if we were to live by the intentions that they had before when they did X, Y, and Z, how do we do that today in such a way that it should still work for us, rather than use a spiritual technology that was obsolete at that point. There was a time when I was trying to think about this birthing that's going on, and I was thinking of a book called Meditations Between Contractions. Because when a woman is about to give birth, at the time when the contractions are happening, she can't think much except of the contraction. But when there is those 5 minutes time when the contractions aren't there, she can remind herself, yes, a child will be born, and it's good. And so to speak of this change time, this called birth pangs of the Messiah, if you will, that during those birth pangs, it's important to have those meditations. I dictated that book on grass, and my writer wrote it on beer, and I couldn't use that book except one chapter that went into the end of the book Paradigm Shift, where I tried to take various articles that I had that talked about that shift that was happening. And this is how, what I can report about that. Oh, Leary. I had met Gerald Hurd in Los Angeles. He was a remarkable person. He wrote a book, Five Ages of Man, which Hugh then made popular and made possible for people to understand, because the guy was a walking encyclopedia. Every fact that he put in made the book a difficult book to read. But when you talk about the possibility, the human possibility for becoming a real mensch for this age, Gene took this material and made it available to us. Gerald, I told Gerald that I wanted, that I'd read Huxley and that I wanted to experience psychedelics. And that I had gotten an offer from Humphrey Osmond and Abe Hoffer to go to a mental hospital in Saskatchewan and to take it there. I figured, no, just go. I don't want to go and do major surgery on a dunghill. You know? But, so I told this to Gerald Hurd. He says, I have some friends at Harvard, and that's how it happened. Before I went, just a second, this is good to hear. Before I went to meet with Leary, I had been in Brooklyn to see the Rebbe. And for a moment I was outside, and he said to the people, where is Zalman? And since I wasn't right there, he said, maybe he went for a retreat, maybe for a meditation. They all had my number at that point. And then, you know, for Chabad people to hear retreat meditation from the Rebbe. He calls me in and says, Say l'chaim, Capo Grande. That meant schnapps, vodka about this much, for one cup. And take one for the retreat and one for the meditation. It turned out not just two, but there were four there. Until he answered me and said, May you have a good retreat and a good meditation. I met Leary later on at the Ananda Ashram in Cohasset, and that's when I had my first experience there. And just as it was coming on, before I started to tumble through all my incarnations, the Rebbe is winking at me, says, have a good retreat and have a good meditation.
This establishment feels it imperative to say that this is not a recommendation, this is a history.
Salman, just while we're at that, didn't you write an article recommending actually that all of the fellow students who are about to get ordained should, while it's still legal, should take a trip on LSD before they get smicha?
The answer is yes, and I don't regret it. Yeah. I tell you something. If your mind isn't blown, you'll never get to the real God. Because when you come with your ironclad mind that says that he has opinions from other people that you haven't had experience for yourself, what happened was it was very clear to me that there isn't only one way to look at reality. And so that's enough for now.
Good.